Lord's Day at this time, Lord willing, I'll be speaking in Columbus, Georgia, in a gospel meeting. Brian Maynard will be speaking here Sunday morning and Milton Tucker Sunday evening. There will be no 8 o'clock service next Sunday, in fact, for the next 2 weeks because of spring break. And I just want to wish all of you students and those of you who will be traveling during the spring break the very best of God's blessings wherever you go. Let's also remember that 2 weeks from this morning, on March the 26th, we'll be having our special day for Brazil. We need to be making plans for that, praying about it, being ready to do our very best. The money is continuing to come in on a regular basis, and we want to do all that we can to be able to have that building, we trust, in just a matter of weeks now. Would you agree with me that it is always appropriate to do the loving thing? I think it is. We hear a lot said about the subject of love. We have a lot said about the loving thing. Perhaps there is no word in the English language that's more important than the word love, because love describes God and it describes the relationships that we ought to have both with God and with each other. Yet there is also no word in the English language that is abused and misused more than the word love. Many times when the word love is used, that's not really what people are talking about. At least the love that's described in the Bible is not what's being discussed. We hear a lot said about doing the loving thing. And again, I would emphasize that I believe all of us here this morning would agree that it is always appropriate to try to do the loving thing. I have no problem with that at all. We hear a lot said in the newspapers and on the television and in conversations today by people in general about do the loving thing. Appeal is made for the loving thing. Situation ethics cries for the loving thing to be done. Trying to determine what's right and wrong, those who would approach morality from the standpoint of letting the situation decide what's to be done, in many instances may very well say, well, listen, just look at what's the loving thing, and always try to do the loving thing. The social community would take that approach. I'm sure that you hear others in this community talk about the subject of love. The importance of loving one another, the importance of dealing with one another in a spirit of love, letting our relationships be characterized by the idea of love. And even God tells us that we need to do the loving thing. Although that's not always in his book exactly what's meant by mankind, even in the area of religion. I find most religions today approaching their teaching and their work from the standpoint of the loving thing. I suppose that just about every religion with which you and I are familiar at all, that we could honestly say this morning that the folks that are involved in that religion would say, let's do the loving thing. Let's approach this subject of religion from the standpoint of love. But again, that's not necessarily what God means when he talks about the loving thing. In Romans, the 13th chapter, at verse 8, Paul said, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And then at verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. When you read verses 8 and 10 of Romans 13, you begin to get the idea that God believes in the loving thing. Christ taught the same thing. Paul had a lot to say about love. Other writers of the Bible did also. And it is just as true as it can be that the Bible emphasizes the idea of love, love from God to man, from man to God, and from man to man. And I have no problem, I'm sure you do not, in saying that in all these different relationships, we need to do the loving thing. But question, what is the loving thing? When you hear people talk about doing the loving thing, are all talking about the same thing? Not necessarily. In fact, no. The loving thing as the world sees it is not the loving thing as God sees it. The loving thing that is promoted by society and even in some instances by the laws of our land is not necessarily the loving thing that's promoted by God's book. What is the loving thing to do? As the world sees the loving thing, it is the idea of fulfilling one's own desires with very little self-denial. Now you just stop and think about what you hear taught from the standpoint of the world itself, people who are not associated with God and with Christ. You recognize immediately that this word love is used again and again. And it is not unusual to hear somebody say, we ought to do the loving thing. What's meant by that is, let's let each one have his own desires. This usually means that there should be no sadness, few tears, if any, ever shed. But let's approach things in such a way that everybody can feel good about what he's doing. And this is taken one step further, usually, to say, if it feels good, then it must be good. Many of the songs that are being listened to by not only the younger generation, but all generations, include statements like this: how can anything that feels so good be wrong? Let's do that which feels good. Let's do that which we want to do. Let each one do his own thing. Let each one do what he desires, what he himself really wants. That's the loving thing. And along with this, the principle is presented that let's have few, if any, restrictions. Promote tolerance. And let me say in passing, there's nothing wrong with tolerance within the right boundaries. In fact, we may need more of it in some ways. But the loving thing from the world is, let's have no restrictions. Look at what's taking place in our homes. It's difficult to go an entire week without somebody commenting on the problems that we're having in the families. And one of those problems about which I hear comments is the rearing of children. The idea is presented, let's rear our boys and girls in love. Let's approach discipline with the loving thing. And out of that has come the concept expressed personally to me from time to time by mothers and fathers. I don't ever intend to punish my son or daughter in any way physically. I'm just going to use love. I'm going to do the loving thing. A few days ago, I heard that a school system had just outlawed any form of paddling at all. No more corporal punishment. This is being viewed on a nationwide way, or in a nationwide way. Possibly in our lifetime, we'll see laws handed down that there can be no corporal punishment in our schools. In many instances, we've almost come to that in our prisons. To where the idea is, let's do the loving thing. Let's see that everything is there that that criminal could want. And let's approach everything without any restrictions, without any punishment. Let's do the loving thing. And so that's what the world in general tends to be saying. Is that what God means when he says, let's approach life by doing the loving thing? The next statement that I'm going to make is a very profound one. Verse 9 comes between verses 8 and 10 in Romans 13. Everybody ought to have at least one profound statement in every sermon, shouldn't you? But the profoundness of that is because of what verse 9 says. Now remember, we read verse 8, he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And we read verse 10, love worketh no ill, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And some people would hang on to that immediately and say, see, the Bible teaches let's do the loving thing, and that means let's be positive about everything and never preach any negatives. And let's bring everybody up with love and never have any punishment. Listen to verse 9. after it says love hath fulfilled the law, and before it says love is the fulfilling of the law, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You mean, God, the loving thing means there's some things we're not to do? That's what he said. You mean if I'm going to teach my children and if I'm going to preach God's word and teach in his classes that I need to teach there are some things that we don't do? You mean that's a part of the loving thing? Isn't it rather eye-opening that that's included right between those statements about love? In John 14:15, Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. What is the loving thing from God's standpoint? In Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verses 8 and 9, Paul indicates that he has a strong feeling of compassion toward the Christians at Philippi. And if you were to ask Paul, Paul, do you approach these Christians trying to do the loving thing? Paul would no doubt answer yes, because he says in verse 8, I long after you all in the bowels or the compassion of Jesus Christ. And this I pray that your love may abound. He says to you folks there at Philippi, I want you to know I love you, I long for you, and I want your love to abound. Couldn't he just as easily said, folks, I want you to do the loving thing? But read on. This I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Now, wait a minute, Paul, you're preaching love. You shouldn't talk about some things we should not do and some things we should do in the work of the Lord, should you? If you're talking about love, that's where he talked about it. In a sense, he was saying to the church there, brethren, the loving thing is to get your life right and fill that life with righteousness in your service to God. That's the loving thing. And Paul believed that the loving thing was to tell them the truth about it. He asked the question in Galatians 4:16, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And in that question, he is asking and is saying it really with the answer built in, the loving thing for me to do is to tell you the truth. Not to tell you what you want to hear, but to tell you what you need to hear is the loving thing. The 12th chapter of Hebrews pictures the relationship of a father to his son in the area of chastisement. And then draws the lesson from that in our relationship to God, that God may use chastisement toward us. I want you to notice particularly verse 11 of Hebrews 12. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Any kind of chastisement or punishment certainly doesn't seem to be the loving thing, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now I want you to notice one key word there, afterwards. The chastening, the chastisement that a father gives his son at the very moment that that's given doesn't seem to be joyous. You don't have many children laugh when they're spanked. But he says, though it seems to be grievous at that time, nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth righteousness and peace. That indicates to us what God thinks about the loving thing. Oh, yes, it's always appropriate to do the loving thing, but it may not be what the world calls the loving thing. The loving thing, from God's standpoint, is what is right and what is best. What will help a child to grow up to be a good person? What will help an older person to grow and serve in such a way that he can stand before God in the day of judgment and hear God say, enter into the joys of thy Lord? That's the loving thing. Now, having drawn this contrast between what the world calls the loving thing and what God calls the loving thing, let's think for a few minutes about some specific areas of life where we have to apply this. would, in the first place, address those of us that are parents. What's the loving thing in bringing up our children? No punishment? No correction? Oh, if I punish him, he won't be happy. He won't like it. Surely that's not the loving thing. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture is discipline. Admonition is encouragement. Ephesians 6:4. Suppose you have a small child that's a diabetic, and that child begs for a bar of candy. And Dad knows if he lets that child have that bar of candy that it will make him deathly sick or possibly could even bring about death. Now, what's the loving thing? Well, the world generally would say, give the child what he wants. Though we deal with it maybe on a little older level with this principle. Give that child what he wants. The loving thing would be for the father to give his child what he wants, would it? When the father knows that that which he would be giving his child would be harmful to the child, the loving thing is what's best for that child. And the father knows that the loving thing is to withhold that will hurt that child. What about people who are living in immorality? What's the loving thing? If people are living in adultery, do we just overlook it in the name of the loving thing? If people are involved with the use of alcohol and other drugs, is the loving thing to say, well, that's what they want, that's their appetite, and if I try to do anything about it, I'll cause some difficulties for them, so I'm just going to go along with them. That's the loving thing. What would be the loving thing, students, to do toward a fellow student if that student asks you about a course and a test in that course? Suppose the student came and you could see that he was upset and nervous and said, does the teacher in this course give a hard test? Now, what's the loving thing? If you know the teacher may give a difficult test, do you reason and say, well, if I tell him yes, it's going to upset him, so I'll just tell him, why, no, the teacher doesn't give a hard test. You're all right. You'll be ready for that test, and he leaves happy and fails it. What's the loving thing? What's the loving thing for a preacher to do when he stands before an audience with God's Word? To say to that audience, you're okay and I'm okay, you do whatever you want to, just be sincere. That very doctrine is being taught from pulpits throughout the world today. Men standing in the pulpit holding God's Word and saying to an audience, you just do whatever you want to, you just be sincere, you do not have to obey certain commandments. And you're all right as long as you believe you're all right. Is that the loving thing? Is it the loving thing to help an alien sinner feel good where he is? Is it the loving thing to allow an erring Christian to feel that he's okay where he is and needs to do nothing? Jesus emphasized the loving thing in answering the question, what's the greatest commandment? Not only giving one, but giving two, saying love God and love your neighbor. But when you study all that Jesus teaches on the subject of love, you realize that he's not talking about tolerating sin and making people feel good where they are, even if they're not where they should be. Folks, the loving thing is to teach people what is right, and to encourage people to do what is right and what is best for them. It may bring about some difficulty for the moment. There may be some tears shed. There may be some heartaches. If you went to the doctor tomorrow and he examined you and found that you had a cancerous growth, and he knew your personality and knew that you were a worrier, and if he told you about it, it would just worry you so much, and yet he also knew that if he removed it, it could save your life, what would be the loving thing? What would you think of a doctor that reasoned, well, you know, if I tell him he has a problem, it's going to upset him, and I don't want to upset him. I want to do the loving thing, so I'll just tell him he's okay. What's the loving thing? The loving thing is to deal with the problem, to overcome it, so that the end result can be right and can be the best. I have no question in my mind but that it is always appropriate to do the loving thing. But folks, the loving thing is not what the world says it is. It's It's what God says it is. And God says the loving thing is to face the facts, to do what is right, and to do what is best, so that one day we can be ready to face God in the day of judgment and go with Him to live with Him in heaven forever. That's the loving thing. And that's what we need to teach and preach, and that's what we need to do. In this audience this morning, I'm sure there are those who have never been baptized into Christ who need to become Christians. What is the loving thing for me to say to you today? Don't worry about it. You're all right. Just, you've got plenty of time. Take your time. It doesn't matter. No, the loving thing is to say to you that you are lost where you are, but you can be saved in Christ. There may very well in this audience be those who have become erring Christians, either in negligence or some other type of mistake. Maybe one that is known publicly or generally. Now, what's the loving thing for us to say? Just forget about it. You'll be all right. Time will take care of it. Don't worry about it. No, the loving thing is to tell you that you are lost in a condition that can be worse than the first. And that the Bible instructs you to repent and to confess and to pray to God. And when you do that, then you can be forgiven and then you can be okay. That's the loving thing. Yesterday, I stood back here and watched his brother Whittle baptize two ladies into Christ. One of them he taught after she came to the building here. Earlier in the week, another young man was baptized into Christ. These will all be attending in other congregations, but it reminds us of what's involved. And as we sat down over here yesterday, and this lady said something to Brother Whittle about wanting to be baptized, and a friend who was with her and was going to be baptized says she doesn't know anything about the gospel to amount to anything, or doesn't understand this, would you teach her? Now, what would have been the loving thing to say? Oh, well, you're all right. You've been going to church somewhere, haven't you? You're living a good life, aren't you? No, the loving thing was to sit down and take the Bible and determine where she was relative to the Bible and teach her what the Bible says. And assist her in being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins to be a Christian, that was the loving thing. And that's the loving thing that we would like to present to you. And if you want to do the loving thing toward God, you'll do more than just say, God, I love you. You'll be obedient to His commands, and that may mean making a move while together we stand and sing.
Sinner, come. Now is the time to own Him. Come, sinner, come. Now is the time to know Him. Come, sinner, come. Are you too heavy laden? Come, sinner, come. Jesus will bear your burden. Come, sinner, come. Jesus will not deceive you. Come, sinner, come. Jesus can now redeem you. Come, sinner, come. Oh, hear His tender pleading. Come, sinner, come. Come and receive the blessing. Come, sinner, come. While Jesus whispers to you, come, sinner, come. While we praying for you, come, sinner, come.
Be seated, please. Sing number 481. 481.
God.